Michael there playing Nocturne No. 10 in E minor by John Field. Michael, take me back to your childhood in Belfast. Was there music at home, or was there a love of music?
There was definitely a love of music. Neither of my parents really play. My father's always been particularly interested in music. He listened to it a lot when he was a child on the gramophone. And when he was a student in Queen's University Belfast, he got a few piano lessons. But, you know, never really had the time to keep it up. But he was always very interested in it. And I suppose there'd be, you know, CDs lying around the house. And it's something that I immediately took to and was just fascinated with. We didn't even have a piano in the house, actually. And one day my father bought an electric keyboard. He's always a big fan of gadgets. And I just was fascinated with it and wanted to learn how to play. And started getting lessons maybe a year later when I was about 8, and then eventually twisted my parents' arm into buying a piano for me.
What was that feeling like the first time you actually sat down and played keyboard? I mean, did it feel in a sense like coming into something you really wanted to do?
It just, everything about it intrigued me and fascinated me. Just, you know, creating sounds, different sounds by kind of experimenting with this new toy, really, and it just went from there. It's just something I really took to quite naturally and enjoyed from the off.
Was there any particular piece of music you heard early on that sparked something in you as well in terms of wanting to play?
Probably the earliest piece I can remember that I was, this is on the electric keyboard and everything, that I really wanted to play and wanted to learn how to play was the Mozart, the very famous sonata in C major. And I used to just spend, you know, hours on end, just myself, kind of working away. Dreadfully, it must have sounded awful to anyone in earshot, working at that. So that's probably the first piece I really remember.
Obviously, your parents were hugely supportive in all of this. Did it require, as it often does with the parents of young, putative musicians, big sacrifices on their part?
Yeah, there certainly were sacrifices, and obviously I'm very grateful that they did that. I've now gone on to do it professionally. When I was about, I studied originally in Belfast with Tom Davidson and later Donal McCriskin. But when I was about 12 or 13, I started going down to the Royal Irish Academy in Dublin, where I studied with John O'Connor and subsequently Raymond Carey. And initially, my mum or my dad would drive me down. You know, it's long enough before the brand new motorways were there. It was a good 2.5-3 hour journey, and that was maybe every fortnight or so. And then when I was maybe a year or two older, I started getting the train down every week after school on a Friday. All my friends were, you know, having fun. And I'd, you know, quite often on the way back up, you know, there'd be a bomb scare in Lurgan and you'd have to do a bus transfer. And, you know, I'd get home at kind of 1:30 in the morning. So, yeah, there were definitely sacrifices, but nothing too serious.
Those train journeys were, as you say, often eventful. But there was one in particular, I think, where you missed the train or the journey didn't happen.
That's right.
It was quite an adventure.
The Dart must have been delayed from Pierce to Connolly. So I arrived at Connolly waiting to get the 8:30 train home, and it had just left a couple of minutes earlier. So I sprinted down to Bus Aris to see if there was a bus that would save me, and sure enough, the last bus had left at 8. So I didn't know what to do. This was in the days before mobile phones. So I tried to call my parents from a pay phone, and they were either out or the phone was engaged. And so I was kind of like 14 years old, stranded in Dublin. And eventually some kind strangers took me under their wing and brought me down to the local Garda station, where if I hadn't been able to get through to my folks, I was preparing to spend the night in a cell.
All in the cause of the piano.
Indeed.
You mentioned there loving, in a sense, the camaraderie of music and musicians around you. Do you ever miss that now, you know, as a solo performer?
Well, the piano in particular is the kind of quintessential lonely instrument, because it's a full orchestra in itself. But I'm kind of lucky in that I'm able to do quite a lot of chamber music as well. That kind of reminds me of my days playing the cello in an orchestra, and I love the interaction of working with other musicians, because no one performance can ever be the same. You can't practice it and play it the same way. You know, you have to react constantly to what the other players are doing. So I play in a regular piano trio called Ensemble Avalon, and I also try to do as many chamber concerts as varied as possible.
You've won lots of prizes. The most recent award, Rising Star 2008 from the National Concert Hall. Tell me about that. It's a great title. Do you feel like a rising star?
Very daunting.
What does it mean in reality?
It's just an incredible opportunity to give a full evening recital in the National Concert Hall, which is, of course, a very prestigious auditorium. And it's usually reserved for, celebrity artists coming in from abroad. So it's a tremendous opportunity to do a full recital in the main auditorium. And I'll be performing what I'd like to think is a very varied, diverse and attractive programme of, ranging from the Beethoven Pathetique Sonata, which is, of course, very well known. And that will be followed immediately by the other end of the spectrum, a work that's never been performed before. This is a special commission, and it's by a young Dublin composer called Breffni O'Byrne, who's tremendously talented. It's a marvellous work, very atmospheric and colourful. And that will be followed by Debussy's Estampe. And then in the second half, it'll be an all-list programme of his Bénédiction de Dieu and Après une lecture de Dante, which is more popularly known as the Dante Sonata. So full of fireworks and ending the concert with a bang.
Did you ever expect when you were a lad sitting down with the electric keyboard that you'd end up making this your life, in a sense?
I don't think so. But it's fabulous that that's proving to be the case, and long may it continue.
Indeed, long may it. Michael McHale, thank you very much indeed.